Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, May 26, 2011, episode 149, sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Good morning, Horse World.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. How are things over there? Are you guys getting major storms as well? I know my friend in Louisville last night was ducking for cover, so what's happening in Lexington?
Well, actually, we got storms last night, but they weren't bad. They had dissipated by the time they got here, but boy, this it seems to be moving a little bit to the east now, so Illinois and Indiana and Missouri again got it yesterday. 14 more people died yesterday that they know about.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was bad. There were tornadoes everywhere again yesterday. So, and today they're saying it's going to be moving further east our way and into Virginia and Ohio, and that's where the big threat is today. I got an email, Jamie, from the Senior Vice President of Disaster Services at the American Red Cross, who got into Joplin yesterday, and he said, since March 31st, the Red Cross has served 2.1 million meals and snacks, opened more than 200 shelters, and distributed more than 1.1 million items like tarps, work gloves, and cleaning supplies. That they have already gone through $41 million, and they have not raised enough to cover that cost, and that hurricane season, by the way, starts next week. So,
So they need some help is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they actually emailed me a couple days ago to find out if I could go work in a shelter. There's 20-some people from the local Red Cross here that have been shipped out to shelters because there's shelters open in like 20 states. And I couldn't because they really ask you to go out for 3 weeks at a time. So I couldn't do that, but it's day after day. Yesterday, when I was watching the Weather Channel in Illinois and Indiana and stuff, they said, we don't have time to go through where all these tornadoes are. Basically, if you're hearing your sirens, if it's raining where you are, get undercover.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's just terrible. That's just, it's unbelievable. So, we do wish the best. I mean, I've heard there's so many people that are either mourning the loss of a family member or, not able to find another family member right now. So it's just devastation out there. And we have to help the Red Cross.
Yeah. And we should have an announcement about that tomorrow. The Horse World is starting to come together to do something about this and to really help. So we're going to be able to tell our listeners more about that tomorrow. They're actually on the American Red Cross, on that note, it's interesting you brought that up, there is what's called a Safe and Well page on the American Red Cross site. It's Safe and Well. Let's see what it is here. It's actually, there's a link off of the American Red Cross site, and it's called Safe and Well, where you can list yourself as safe and well and search for other people who have done the same. So if you haven't been able to get a hold of somebody, it's a way to find out if they're okay. And that's being run by the Red Cross as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I have a piece of audio that I didn't get a chance to talk to you even about that we'll play after our Daily Winnies today, about two horses that decided to go airborne in a tornado, and you'll find out an interesting place where they landed. So we'll have the audio for that right after this. But let's go to Jennifer, find out what's on today's show, and get it started.
On today's show, press the button so you can see it. Ah, there we go. On today's show, we are going to try to bust some horse trailer myths with Tom Shreve, author and expert on nearly everything horse trailer. You may not recognize his name, but I can pretty much guarantee if you've ever read anything in a book or magazine about horse trailers, purchasing, and safety, you've read stuff written by Tom Shreve. He's the guy. And next up, it's Thursday, and I did check. The Chronicle Report will be here, so stay tuned for the sarcasm.
Well, my daily Winnie today goes out to my friend Jamie Jennings for being brave enough to post on our Facebook page a picture of her in her pajamas heading out to the barn. I got to tell you that people, there were a lot of comments. Apparently, there's more women than not that wear their pajamas in the barn.
I was so excited to see that I had sisters in this because, well, first of all, I'm wearing these ridiculous pajamas, which is what I wear. I actually do the show usually in my pajamas every morning, for God's sake. It's 6 o'clock this morning, you know, here. And then I go straight out and I feed. So the fabulous look just carries itself right out the door when I go to feed. So I was so glad to see that all these people also feed in their pajamas as well. However, you know, when we took that picture, I say we because my husband was still home from work, and I said, honey, will you please take a picture of me right now? And he was like, really? Why? I was like, trust me. Don't worry about it. Just take my pictures. And last night, he sees it on Facebook. I show him. I'm like, look at all these comments about my picture. He's like, you posted that online? Are you insane? So apparently the fashion, he's not a huge fan of the fashion, but he's the one that photographed me and did have a couple colorful comments of it being posted online. So I thank you very
much. I'll tell you what. I thought it was very cute. I thought you looked very cute. And boy, though, people were hating on your boots.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You know, I bought those for Rolex. Because it was so muddy in Kentucky. So I bought those about going out to Rolex, and they just end up being the greatest boots to feed in ever because I just trudge out there in them. But, yeah, I need some fashionable ones, I guess.
Yeah, apparently they're ugly because, boy, there are some mean comments about your boots. Everybody liked your Superman pajamas, but the boots were tough. Hey, and then I saw your friend Lindsay Rakers posted, and she said that apparently you got her some Supergirl jams a while back.
I think I bought all the Superman accoutrement together. I might have bought these and hers at the same time. I think it was just a Christmas gift. So, there you go.
Lindsay, we want to see your a picture of you and your Supergirl jams. And by the way, I will give a signed Horse Radio, a coveted signed Horse Radio Network hat, the coveted Horse Radio Network hats. We don't give these out freely. To the first listener to post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning a picture of them in the barn in their PJs. And you got to be able to see the whole thing, the whole package.
Please, please, somebody else. I mean, don't embarrass. It's, show your fashion. I need somebody else. Help me.
So we want to see a picture of one of our listeners in their pajamas in the barn, and we'll give them a hat. We'll make sure that they get a signed hat, or the coveted signed Horse Radio Network hat. So
PG.
We'll
PG. Everybody keep it PG.
Oh, no, not. Well, it depends. You know, I don't have a problem with that.
You are such a guy. Okay, my Daily Winnie, because, you know, yesterday we were talking about the fact that Glenn was talking about having to drive his horse. I was trying to remember how this whole thing came up. And Glenn was talking about driving his pony downhill and uphill without a brake on the carriage. And I said, you don't have any brakes? But what happened? Did you ever get out and walk down the hill or walk back up the hill? Because in Black Beauty, he always talked about how the people would put the brake on and forget, and nobody ever actually got out and walked up a hill to give him a break, blah, blah, blah. That's when I noticed that, that was informed, that Glenn and Jennifer, neither one of you so-called horse people have ever read the book Black Beauty. How does one get through childhood without reading Black Beauty, much less be an adult and not read that book? It is a classic novel. It is the epitome of horse care, and you, neither one of you had ever read it. So I posted on Facebook, first of all, A, have you read the book? Because maybe I'm coming out of nowhere with this. I just thought everybody read it. Have you read the book? And would you support me reading a page a day to my co-hosts? And let's see, the results were overwhelming. We had at least, you know, 20 people like it. And then the comments were 40 comments. Pretty much everybody but the one dude on there said, read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. And yes, I read it. The only person who didn't want you to was Rick Conley, and that's because he's Rick.
Way to go, Rick.
I don't even know the guy, but I know he's kind of a jerk. So he says that would make for really boring radio. But every other girl, like this woman, Jamie Gage, said, read it, read it, read it. And Sumiko, yes, it's a classic. Julie said Glenn needs to hear it. You know, somebody actually wrote on there, and I'm trying to find it right now, that, yes, read it, and once you get done with that, you can read National Velvet. So we're going to have books on radio here on the Horse Radio Network. I should just do a separate show and just read books online, even though none of you have heard me read before. And, you know, this is a fantastic opportunity, Glenn, for you and Jennifer to get the finer things of the horse world, which is literature. Because I know you're not a literature guy. So my Daily Winnie, back to all that, goes out to all my sisters, not brothers, Rick, all my sisters online who supported me in my whole read Black Beauty to Glenn and Jennifer. I mean, I was touched emotionally by the people that commented in my support. So I really appreciate it.
The women were sticking together on this, and when it was me and Rick out there all by ourselves, I think he and I were the only ones that were going, oh, my God, this is going to be the most boring radio ever. So I have to concede that with 40 comments about this, I guess I have to concede. So, but this is my – okay, I have two conditions.
Uh-oh.
As the boss and owner of the Horse Radio Network, two conditions. I will concede to the reading of Black Beauty on this show by you.
Woohoo!
But we have to read the children's book because it's a heck of a lot shorter. And and you have to read 2 pages a day so we can get the nightmare over quicker.
First of all, it's not a nightmare. Second of all, I'll read the whole dang book in one episode if you want me to, whatever. I'm just going to read it to you and Jennifer because I cannot believe you guys haven't read it. Oh, now, you know what's going to happen? Is Glenn, you're going to be sitting there listening to this story, and I'm going to say, okay, page is over, and I'm going to close the book, and you're going to be quiet. I'm going to say, Glenn, hello, Glenn? And you're going to be like, we're going to have to play a song right now because I'm crying because it's so good. Oh, my God. See, that's what's going to happen.
You're hoping.
It's so going to happen.
I think actually somebody's going to have to go over and tap me on the shoulder to wake me up is what's more likely going to happen.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you.
So this is it. Tuesday, starting next Tuesday because Monday's a holiday. Starting next Tuesday, the official reading of Black Beauty by Jamie Jennings will begin 2 pages a day.
I'm getting the kids because I don't have the kids version. The kids version is being delivered to me by one of my students. Oh, this is true. I texted my student's mother, and I said, hey, do you have a copy of the kids' version of Black Beauty? And her response was, ha, of course. of course we have it, duh. So they are bringing it over here Saturday morning. So we will have it ready and prepared for you on Tuesday morning.
Well, I will definitely, I will add to my commitment of this project by saying that I will put an introduction together for you, an appropriate musical background.
Nice. I like it. I like it a lot. It can't be ugly or sarcastic. It has to be beautiful, like the book.
Oh, and it really?
And
didn't include any of that.
No cuss words, no whips, no nothing like that. And Glenn, there just might be a pop quiz at the end of the couple pages. Because I know you, and I will be reading this book, and you will be Googling, you know, how to fly a kite. So you cannot be on the computer. You have to be focused and paying attention. And I'm going to do to you what I do to my students. I'll say, listen, you guys go out there. I want you to, you know, hey, inside rein up, outside leg back, blah, blah, blah. And then I say to them, and this is what I'm going to do to you, what I just say. What I just say. And they go, Yeah, exactly. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. Glenn, what did I just say? Pay attention. So I will quiz you, and we will go through this, and we will get through it together, and you will learn something, and you will be emotionally touched and grow as a human. I'm done now. That was my daily Winnie. Thanks, sisters.
So Black Beauty was about a driving horse?
He had many jobs, if you only knew. See, you never knew that there was a carriage portion of it, a very large part of it. I mean, it was London in the 1800s. Yes, there was a lot of carriage portion.
I thought he was on the beach. The only thing I know about Black Beauty is, wasn't he on the beach at some point?
Oh, good. Glenn, that is the Black Stallion, okay? The Black Stallion and Alec Ramsey, who were on a boat because they were going from Arabia, and then the boat crashed, and the only survivors were Alec and the Black started swimming ashore, and Alec grabbed his tail, and they went to the beach together, and then... All right, I'm done. I'm done with you.
I haven't seen that one either, by the way. All right, so Tuesday, we begin the dramatic reading of Black Beauty to apparently culturize me. That's
yay!
We need some. Speaking of culture, we need some really bad ads for tomorrow. We need you to submit your really bad ads. There's a signed Horse Radio Network hat on the line for this week. Jennifer's gotten a bunch. You have gotten some, right, Jennifer? I think you told me you've gotten some, but we need some more, right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to make another order. You're handing those buggers out fast and furious now.
Yeah, we've got. Remember. Yeah, remember, if you post a picture of you in your PJs this morning, because that's how you go feed in the morning, then please send it to us, because the first one to post it on Facebook gets a signed Horse Radio Network hat. And really bad ads, jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Send her a really bad ad. We're talking Craigslist ads. If they're selling horses, if they're selling trailers, whatever they're selling, that is ridiculous. You know, and it can be a cute little pony. However, when they misspell every word or they call it, you know, the horse is 16'7", you know, hands tall, just anything ridiculous like that, definitely send it to us. And just say jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, and we will read it tomorrow, and the winner gets a signed hat from the Horse Radio Network as well. And it's a very cute hat. I mean, it is cute. You will want to wear it to the barn.
And I know that it's become a very popular segment. You'll hear it tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock is when we do the really bad ad segment, right before we all head out for the weekend. And this is going to be a holiday weekend. We will be here on Monday, but in recorded version, we're putting up a special episode that we did with the Western Radio folks, Alan and Tammy, that you're going to want to listen to. It was very funny and fun. It was their one-year anniversary, so Jamie and I took over their show and hosted their show, and we turned the tables on them and got to ask them questions. They were our guests.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, Glenn, with one of my news stories. My news story will be in honor of Alan from the Western Radio Show. I did want to inform you that today is a special holiday here in the Jennings household at Flyover Farm. This may be, in the last 6 months, one of the most appropriate and looked forward to days of the entire year. I mean, of the entire last 6 months. First, today is Boomer and Zenyatta's 6 month birthday. 6 months! Yay!
And you haven't killed him yet! Yay!
See, and that brings me to the special day, Glenn. Because today. Today is the day that Boomer's getting neutered. Yay! It's castration day here at Flyover Farm, and Boomer he's rubbing on my leg right now. He has no idea what's in store for him today, but he is getting brain surgery, and it is going to vastly improve his behavior. I'm very excited.
You hope. You hope.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it can't get worse. Let me just tell you that. So
Let me think about this. You got two puppies back then. You got a little girl named Zenyatta that was yours, and you got a boy named Boomer that was Chad's. And if the stereotypes fit, yours is a perfect little angel and his is a rotten monster.
Yes. Well, it's not even a stereotype. It's the truth, Glenn. It's the total truth. So let me just tell you that Zenyatta is currently laying on the pillow next to me, curled up in a little ball, and she is snuggled. She peeks up at me every once in a while just to kind of say, Mama, Mama, I love you. I love you, Mama. Boomer is currently standing behind me, scratching on the door because he wants to go outside. And then what do? I get up and I let him out. What does he do? He goes out, lifts his leg on my house, turns around, and scratches on the door to come back in. And he will do this all day. He wants to go outside, pee on something, come back in. So then what he does do when he goes outside is our neighbor has a dog along their fence line, and he goes out and he barks and barks and barks and tries to attack the dog through the fence, and then he comes back in like, look what I did. I'm so happy. Aren't you proud of me? I was barking really loud all the time. This is awesome.
That's exactly why we get greyhounds, so we don't have to listen to the barking all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's him talking right now. He,
I was just going to say, is that Boomer?
Yeah, that's him. Hey, Boomer. Boomer, come here. Do you want a cookie? Come here. Boomer learned a special trick. Boomer, I can't hear you. Boomer, I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Well, you're teaching him to bark. No wonder he barks.
What? So, well, the thing is, Caesar Milan, I don't think it's Caesar, but a dog trainer did tell me one time that to teach, if you want to get a dog to stop barking, teach him to bark on command. So that's what we're doing. But you know what? It doesn't matter. His nuts are coming off today. Yeah. I'm so, you know what, though? I'm making Chad drive him to the I'm making Chad drive him to the appointment because I'm on the air, and then I'll go pick him up later. I'm pretty sure Chad might just keep heading down to Mexico. Boomer, we'll be there together, buddy. Like it's like Selma and Louise, Chad and Boomer, and they go to the vet. Except for Zenyatta is going to get spayed too, but I she's fine. Whatever. I just am so excited, Boomer.
Let's hope that works for you. I hope that works for you. Hey, you know, you hear about weird things when tornadoes happen. One house is fine, nothing at all wrong with it. The neighbor's house is completely demolished. Sort of like your in-laws were talking about, you know. Their house was fine this time, but neighbor's houses were completely flattened.
Well, last time their roof got ripped off and their neighbor's houses were fine.
How about a couple of horses that went airborne and landed in an unlikely place?
You've no doubt heard of the expression, when pigs fly. Well, now there's a new twist on that old saying after the tornado touched down in Fulton County. 13 ABC's Lisa Guyton spent the day there. She joins us live with quite a story. Lisa?
Well, we first brought you this incredible story yesterday, and today we got to see how the horses are doing firsthand after being scooped up right out of their pasture and carried into the neighbor's yard. They ended up in a swimming pool, and they both seem rather unfazed by that wild ride. Today is just another day on the farm for Libby and Murphy. But it was a much different story late Saturday night. The two horses were plucked out of their Fulton County pasture and dumped in a neighbor's pool.
I just didn't know what to do. I just kind of was shocked. I didn't know how to get them out.
At first, Michelle wondered if her two horses broke through the fence. But she says the evidence left behind tells a much different story. There are hoof prints throughout the lawn, about 30 yards apart, meaning the horses were likely picked up and dropped down several times before hitting the pool. Michelle's mother helped with the rescue effort.
The storm had to pick the horses up over top the 8-foot-tall trees, and then the skid marks, it looks like the storm dropped them and then picked them up again, because Libby has skid marks on her knees and her shins and her ankles.
Murphy, the black and white horse, was able to walk out of the pool using the steps, but it was a much different story when it came to getting Libby out.
I thought for sure that we would have to put him down right then and there.
We ran up to the pool, and one of them was wrapped up in the liner, and the guys jumped in and took out the liner, and it took about seven of them. So the black and white one walked right up the steps, but it took about seven of them to get the red one out.
Dr. Roger Spies is the vet who treated the two horses after their amazing ride. Dr. Spies says he's never heard of horses living through something like this.
But they're mostly superficial wounds. This is probably the worst one, but it didn't get any deep structures. And it looks like we do have some minor infection taking place right now. But just bandaging every day, oral antibiotics and topical antibiotics, it should heal an eventful form.
Nothing time, a little medicine, and a lot of love won't heal. Now, Michelle took the horses to her mom's farm right after the accident. They will likely be recovering there for a few months. When I asked Michelle if the mayor is maybe a little reluctant to return to the scene of that wild ride, she says she thinks they'll be just fine. Now, there are reports of a number of missing pets after the storms. If you find one, please call your local Humane Society or other rescue groups for help. Reporting live in the Action News Center, Lisa Guyton, 13ABC, Action News.
So let me get this straight. These horses were lifted up in a tornado and carried across into somebody's pool?
Yes.
And dropped in the pool. And
yes.
There was a liner on top of the pool, and the horses are fine.
Now, actually, the liner was, you know, some pools have actually fabric liners. And what happened was when they were dropped in the pool, the leg went through the liner, so the horse was caught in the liner, and they actually had to tear the liner out of the pool to get the horse out.
Wow, that is amazing. Okay, that first of all, that the horses were lifted up and put in a pool, but then the fact that they were pretty much fine, that's incredible. What an incredible
story.
The
one was, in the video, the one was pretty scraped up. The red one they talked about was pretty scraped up.
Yeah, I was going to say the red one.
The black and white and the red one. But, it was interesting.
Wow, that's incredible. What a cool story.
You don't hear that one. We talked about rescues, but that one has to take the cake. Hey,
Where was it? They said Fulton County. Is that in Georgia?
Ohio.
Where
was
that?
Actually, Ohio, near Toledo.
Oh, okay.
Because they had tornadoes the other day, too. That reminds me of this other story I had down here. You know how the other day, I don't know if you were here, if it was one of the days you were gone, we talked about the horse-drawn hearse races in England?
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, in Liverpool, England, a horse-drawn hearse plowed through into parked cars in Liverpool after the animals got spooked and bolted. The two horses waiting outside St. Oswald's Church in Old Swan while the funeral took place set off down the street while the service continued. One of their handlers suffered minor injuries, bringing the horses under control further down Derby Lane. The police said that the motorized hearse was brought in to take the coffin on its final journey. So the good news is the bad news is the horses bolted and caused all kinds of havoc on Derby Lane. The good news is that the coffin was not in the hearse at the time.
Oh, my God. That is the worst nightmare ever, like, to see your family member is laying in their final resting place on the way.
On the final ride. Granny's getting the ride of her life.
Oh, my God. That was
I can hear the comments now from the grandkids. I can hear the comments now from the grandkids. That's the most fun Granny's ever had.
Poor thing. Aw. Hey, let me go ahead and do the commercial before we do get to our first guest, which I believe, actually, they're not here yet. So I can do my news story, Glenn. This is in honor of Alan from the Western Radio Show. He, as you will learn about Alan, he had an exciting adventure. Let's just put it that way. And Alan's exciting adventure was actually put up on the silver screen. He was in a Golden Globe award-winning movie, okay? Alan, in a Golden Globe award-winning movie, and not many people know about it. And on the Western Radio Show, and we're going to play it on our show on Monday morning, when Glenn and I interviewed those guys, they talked about it. So this is in honor of that, and you will learn more about that. You'll figure out why if you just listen to that episode. But here's the news story. A rider from the host nation of Kazakhstan on a newly recognized breed of horse won the 2011 FBI Central Asian Endurance Championships in Talgar earlier this month. Altingali Bismagambetov claimed gold on the Adai horse Oily, while fellow Kazakh Amangeldi Munataybayev took silver, and compatriot Kaiserhan Andybay clinched the bronze. Just six of the 16 starters completed the 80-kilometer course, and the only non-Kazakh in the final lineup was the sole competitor from Turkmenistan, sixth place Oleg Karabayev. How on earth can I just get through that story? I have no idea.
I don't know how you did either.
when you get to listen to the Western Radio Show, you'll know why I dedicated the Central Asian Endurance Championships from Talgar results to Alan from the Western Radio Show. So that is his story right there. I love making fun of him. I think it's so fun. He's tortured me enough.
Yeah, he doesn't let the whole Oompa Loompa thing go.
Why you got to throw in Oompa Loompas? Why couldn't you just not let it go?
I just was saying he doesn't let it go. I wasn't saying I don't let it go. I said he doesn't let it go. This is all
you just
him
said
now.
The word, though. That's like a cuss word now, Glenn.
I actually had to call back in. If I sound a little different, everybody, I had to call back in on the phone right now because I'm having computer issues. So, but I'm back. I'm here. And I guess I missed the story and you saying all of those names. Do you want to repeat it again so I make sure I can hear it?
Well, Glenn, I was just going to tell you to give congratulations to Altingali Bismagambetov. Okay, because he claimed the gold. And then, of course, the bronze went to Amangeldi Munataybayev.
I wasn't too bad, actually. I'm actually kind of impressed.
Yeah, but that could absolutely not be the way to pronounce it.
Well, this show today is sponsored by EasySignsOnline.com. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose your sign options and to see all the pricing up front, from vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall name plates, to farm entrance signs. They also have business, school, and church signs. Their New England-style line of signs are very popular for horse farms. With literally hundreds of combinations of options available, you will be able to create the custom sign you've always wanted, just like Jamie did. Remember, you only get one chance to make a first impression. A beautiful farm entrance sign from EasySignsOnline.com gets that done. They have a special Memorial Day weekend coupon for all fans listening. Get $35 off your next order of $150 or more. Just use the coupon code MAY2011, all one word, MAY2011, when phoning in your order or when checking out in the shopping cart. Hurry, this coupon is only good through Memorial Day weekend. So that's EasySignsOnline.com or give them a call at 800-640-8180. Now, we're going to talk to you, you're going to guide us through some trailer myths, huh?
Well, yeah, Glenn, you know, I put my horse in a trailer every week and drive an hour and a half to a riding lesson, or at least I have been for about 6 weeks. So we've got Tom on the line, and Tom Shiva wrote the book The Complete Guide to Buying, Maintaining, and Servicing a Horse Trailer. And he's written articles to pretty much every magazine, Equus, Practical Horseman, Horse Illustrated, Horse Journal, The Horse, Horse and Rider, Dressage Today. I mean, the guy is the expert. So we wanted to break some myths. There's so many times when you hear, oh, do this with the trailer, this is better. Well, we're going to get to the bottom of it and talk to Tom. So first of all, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Glenn,
well,
and Jamie, how are you?
Oh, we're doing great, Tom. Thank you so much for being on the show. Just want to jump right in. First of all, what makes you the expert on trailering?
Well, first of all, can I dispel a correction? I need to give you a correction right away. My wife is actually the author of the textbook, The Complete Guide to Buying, Maintaining, and Servicing a Horse Trailer, and she's got the real... She's got the real big name on the book, and my name is real kind of small, but you know how that kind of goes.
Well, let's get her on the phone. Jeez.
Well, she's not too far away, so if I say something stupid, she's probably going to tell me right away. So we'll hopefully give you all correct information. The other thing is I am on my home phone in my office at home, and I got two little dogs, and they might start barking if a squirrel goes by or something. So
you'll be right in there with Jamie, whose dogs bark on the show all the time. So
okay, well, good. Then we're in good shape. So, and I'll answer any question you want. It doesn't have to be about horse trailers. It could be about life or anything. I mean, I don't care. So let's get started.
Wow. All right. Let's do it. Again, what makes you and your wife the trailer safety and trailer experts?
Wow, there's a good question. Probably from, we've been in the business for about 25 years. We've written, and she's written, three books on horse trailers, which I've done the research. And, of course, when you write books, and they are published, you know, by large publishing companies, there's a lot of research that has to go into those books, and a lot of legal, you know, obligations not to put wrong information. So I think that's kept us pretty straight over the years. And then in addition to that, the experience that we've had in designing, we have designed and developed a company called Equispirit Horse Trailer. So we've been working in designing and safety features and developing those kind of things for, since 1988.
Gotcha. So are you horse people? Do you own horses? Do you trailer your horses everywhere?
Yes, we do. And my wife's more of the horse owner, and I've been the horse taking care of her and watcher. And yes, horse husband. Well, not exactly horse husband. I do some riding and have done some riding. But she is mainly the driving force of the development of the safety. And we've always, our company has always been interested in the overall well-being and health of the horse. So that's been our guideline ever since we got into the trailer business.
So let's jump right in here with some of these myths that we either are going to have busted or confirmed by you. And this is something that everybody has heard, and it is that gooseneck trailers are better than bumper pole trailers. Is that true?
A gooseneck trailer is definitely better than a bumper pole trailer if you're carrying three or more horses, and or you have a two horse with a very long front, let's say has a living quarters or something in it. But it's not necessarily true with a two horse trailer. If you're comparing, you know, modern day trailers, two horse trailers to two horse gooseneck trailers, they're just as safe, in our opinion, in our research, they're just as safe as a gooseneck as long as they are hitched up correctly. And that's the key, to be have the right hitch, the right coupler on it, the right weight distribution system, which we highly promote. And if that's the case, and it's a tricky question, but if that's the case, we feel that they're just as safe as a gooseneck trailer.
I'll tell you what, Tom, though, I have on occasion driven some tag-along trailers that I got mighty frightened at times on the highway, as the things seem to have a mind of their own when trucks pass and things like that. So they can be interesting at times.
And that is true, again, if it's not hooked up trailer correctly and if it's not designed well. I mean, a good tag-along trailer that has a good tongue weight to it And there's all different kinds of two-horse trailers, so we have to be careful about how they can sway and how they're designed. But if a two-horse tag-along trailer is designed correctly, where the axles are placed in the right position, tongue weight is a good thing. A lot of people don't realize that, but a good tongue weight on a trailer causes it to track better if the wheels are back. What happens is some of the two-horse trailers, they make them lighter, and they want to have a lighter tongue weight for lesser tow vehicles, and what happens, they move the wheels up a little bit, and then you've got the horses sort of a little bit behind the wheels and in front of the wheels, and what happens is it starts to sway or lose balance. But if it's a correctly designed two-horse trailer, it can be just as safe as a gooseneck.
Okay, well, that's, you know, something that I am completely unqualified to try to figure out for myself. So how can you make sure that you have a trailer that the tongue weight is the appropriate amount and the tires are where they're supposed to be?
Well, there's a lot to that subject, but basically you need to have the right hitch on it, which is rated, the right height ball. It's very important for a trailer to be level, and the reason for it to be level is so that there's equal weight on all four tires and the axles, because axles and tires are rated. So what happens is all those tires have to work together to support the weight. Now, if your hitch is up a little or down a little bit too low, and the trailer is riding, and this is a bumper pull we're talking about now, and if you're riding more, then it puts more weight on the front tires, then you've got more weight a little bit forward than it should be. Now, what's going to happen there is the trailer is going to sway. So if you have the trailer hitch a little bit too high, where the nose is up, and you put a little bit too much weight on the back tire, the trailer's probably going to track a little bit better, but you're overloading those back tires, not having the weight on the front, and those tires could heat up and blow. So that's what I mean by hitched up safely. Everything's got to be correct, and, of course, on the gooseneck, too, but they all got to be correct on a bumper pull, because it could be more exaggerated when you have some issues.
Okay, so you still have to have that level playing field when you have a gooseneck as well, not just a bumper pull, or it's a little bit
absolutely.
Of up or down better?
Okay. No, absolutely. You have to have it the same. And you can't always get it exactly perfectly level. So if it's a little bit more up, the nose a little bit more up than down, it's better, because you're throwing a little bit more weight on the back tires than the front, and that just causes it to track better. Now, what happens with the gooseneck is the gooseneck has more tongue weight, obviously, so it comes down into the bed of the truck right over the axle. And like I said, tongue weight is good, so it really helps the trailer to track better. But there's a lot of benefits to a two-horse tag-along trailer with a little pack room. And I often, when people often call and they say, I want to buy a two-horse gooseneck, I'll often talk to them about whether that's what they really want. And a lot of times it just comes out that some neighbor said, you got to have a gooseneck trailer over a tag-along. And this person probably never owned a really good tag-along trailer, and then bought a gooseneck, and then that's the only way to go.
See, and you see a lot of people, I mean, everybody says that, but you also see a lot of people, I'm not naming any names, had a two-wheel drive truck and then bought a four-wheel drive truck with the same trailer, and maybe it might be pointed a little uphill, but that's better than downhill, you say.
Well, you still have to adjust for a four-wheel drive, and that's an excellent question.
The
tag-along couplers have a drop-down ball mount, so they come in two, 4 and 6 inches. So when you have a four-wheel drive and it sets the rear of the truck or the tow vehicle up higher, you really need to get a lower drop so that you can keep the trailer level.
How do you do that with a gooseneck, or are you just kind of out of luck?
No, most goosenecks always have had what they call an adjustable gooseneck, and it's a sliding piece that's bolted. The coupler is sort of bolted up into a sliding piece, and what you're able to do is slide that piece up and down and then be able to adjust it. It's sort of a fine-tuning adjustment. And then once you get it level, then you lock the bolts into place and you've got it. But that's a, you brought up a good question. Older goosenecks, a lot of older goosenecks don't have the clearance to come over some of today's higher trucks. So that fine adjustment doesn't always work for you if the actual lower part of the gooseneck, you know, underneath the gooseneck, doesn't clear the back of the truck by at least 6 or 8 inches. Do you follow me on that?
Oh, yeah, totally. So mm-hmm. Do you just need to get a different, a newer trailer?
That's exactly right.
Honey, we're going shopping.
And the best way to do that is, you know, you set the gooseneck up level, let's say on a, you know, on blacktop or concrete driveway, and then you back the truck up underneath it while it's level and see if it has at least 6 to 8 inches of clearance between the bottom of the bed of the truck or the top of the bed of the truck and the bottom of the gooseneck, and then
then
you can adjust it. Yeah.
I'm going to say, for my situation, I can answer that now. I mean, I have to crank that puppy about sky high to get my truck underneath it,
uh-oh,
to drop it down on it. So, yeah, we definitely need to do some shopping. I knew it.
Uh-oh,
I knew it.
Yeah. And the real danger of that, and a lot of people don't realize it, and I've seen it on travel trailers, is, again, each tire is rated to hold a certain amount of weight. And for example, on a two-horse tag-along, it could be around 2,300 pounds each. It's anywhere from 18 to 2,300 pounds. So let's say 8,000-plus pounds of weight carrying on all four tires. If you put them on the two, now all of a sudden you've got 6,000 or 7,000 pounds on about 4,000 pounds of weight-rated tires, and they can heat up and then they can blow on you.
Yeah, and we've all known somebody that had a trailer tire that blew, and it is not any fun. We talk about wood flooring, and there's always these nightmare stories where horses fell through the floor of the trailer. And, you know, first of all, what kind of flooring would you recommend, and how do you take care of that?
Well, you know, I like wood flooring because it doesn't heat up, and a good wood floor, a good board that's pressure treated and cared for over the years is going to last a long time, and it's easy to replace wood flooring. But the real key about flooring is the cross members underneath the floor. I like the wood to run from front to back because if it runs from side to side, you could theoretically have four front legs and four back legs on one piece of wood, where if it runs from front to back, you've got the weight spread over different boards. But the cross members underneath it, if there's a lot of them, we like to put ours at 16 inches on center. It sort of works like a house. If you ever seen a construction guy build a house and they put really heavy tile on the floor, they'll put the joists closer together to give it more strength. And that's the same way it works under a wood floor. If you've got a number of steel cross members, and we work with galvanized steel, underneath the wood flooring, then what happens is it gives it a lot more strength, and really the wood would almost have to turn to mush before a horse could really go through it if you have the right amount of cross member support underneath it. So that's an important issue on the wood floor. The other popular floor right now is called rumber. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
It's sort of a synthetic material that and a lot of people offer it standard in their trailer, and they make it out of, it looks like boards, you know, it's they're 2x8s, and they lay them in the trailer, and it's sort of a synthetic rubber material, and we haven't used it standard, but we offer it as an option because it's flexible. If you were to hold a piece of this, like a piece of wood on one end, Jamie were to hold the other end, it would bow, you know, down in the middle and hit the floor and come back up. It's that kind of material. So it flexes a lot, so you need a lot more support underneath it, and I'm just not real sure about that yet. We're very cautious when we put new things in our trailer standard.
Yeah. Okay. And so
And the other floor
trailer
is aluminum, if you want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
The all-aluminum floor.
Now, does aluminum flooring heat up?
Absolutely. You know, aluminum makes good cookware. And it does.
Okay.
And well, aluminum floor, and I'm probably going to have all kinds of aluminum manufacturers come after me for this. But aluminum floor does make good cookware, and it really does heat up. If you're stuck on a road and that heat starts to come up underneath the trailer, it'll heat that aluminum floor right up. And aluminum floor is hard to take care of, a lot harder to take care of, I believe. You have to really wash it down with soap and water because the alkaline, you know, in the urine and manure can just eat through that aluminum in about 8 or 9 years if it's not taken care of. And I've seen pieces out of aluminum floor up a trailer that looks like it's in great shape. Pull up the mats and wow, it's just a powdered holy mess. But
oh, wow.
So that's why we don't care for that. Yeah.
Now, we talk about the trailer heating up. When you're hauling a horse, you know, we've all seen people say they're hauling a horse in the winter and they blanket their horse, or they're hauling a horse and they leave the windows open. What is safety protocol for shipping a horse, and how hot do they get? How much do they work in a trailer? Is blanketing a bad thing to do? What do you think?
Well, again, it depends on the weather, but horses do. It depends on whether people and my wife's better knowledgeable at this, but it depends on whether somebody clips their horses or trims their horses in the winter too. I mean, if they have their full coat and it isn't and it's in the 20 or 30 degrees out, of course a blanket over them. You should have the windows open because ventilation is a good thing. I think if you have ventilation and the right size for the horse or the right room for the horse, you've got most of the battle won in a trailer. So if you can get it, and trailers are all different. For example, ours are insulated. It's a dual wall insulation, so it's insulated on top and bottom. So if you closed up all the windows and the horse had a heavy winter coat on, I mean, he would heat that trailer up way too hot for him to really travel comfortably. So we open the windows up, give him a lot of ventilation, and put the proper blanket on for the certain type of temperature. If they're clipped, you know, then you want to maybe use a little bit heavier temperature. And, of course, if you've got a stock trailer with the open sides, then you've got a lot more ventilation coming in. So you have to kind of look at all those factors. And I hope I'm not being vague about that, but there are a lot of factors involved in answering that question.
No,
but
you just have to kind of use judgment, I guess. So in the world of when you're traveling with horses, mm-hmm. and you do have the windows open, how important is it to not to, because you've seen people driving down the road with their horses' heads hanging out the window. Is that, I mean, it seems like a really bad idea to me.
Well, that is really stupid.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And if I saw somebody doing that, I'd probably go up to their trailer and find the person and say, you know what, you're really stupid. Close that window, please. But and you'll see that in slant loads. What happens, and now we're going to get into a real issue with slant loads. Big horses don't fit in slant loads, most standard slant loads. You know, they're at an angle. So what happens is the horses get kind of squashed in there if they get over 15-3 hands, and their butts are right up against the back, you know, the sidewall, and their heads are right up against the front. So when they open the window, I mean, about 2 foot ahead comes right on out of it because it didn't have any place to be before. So what happens is a lot of people buy slant loads and their horses are a little bit too big for them, and they'll open the windows and let their horses stick their heads out. And, of course, now they're subject to any flies or bees or insects or road debris that can hit them. You know, if they even take a corner too close or happen to have to swerve out of the way and their heads are out and there's an object on the left side, I mean, they could just do some serious damage and kill a horse. So it's just, you never want any part of the horse's, you know, anatomy outside of the trailer once you put them in it.
Yeah, well, okay, so you've given me permission to go up to somebody, smack them in the face, tell them they're stupid,
geez.
And close the windows. I'm going to say, Tom told me I could.
At the least, and you can give them my number and tell them to call me and say it's his fault.
Okay, I totally will do it. I'll do it. Hey, Dad, actually, you bring up another great question when you mentioned slant loads versus straight loads. Everybody says, oh, you've got to have a slant load. You've got to have the slant load. The horses, they if you let a horse go in a trailer, they'll slant and travel that way. So is that the truth or is it not? I'm kind of a straight load fan myself, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Well, you know what? If I took a four-year-old and put him in a car and watched to see how he likes to travel, when he climbs on the back seat and looks out the back window and I say, oh, okay, he likes to travel that way. Let's leave him back there and do that. So I think the idea that a horse can go onto a trailer and turn sideways or turn backwards and wants to travel backwards, there's so many reasons for that. I mean, they might want to look out the window. They came in the back door. They might want to turn around and go back out because that's the nature of the horse. But no, I think that there's a lot of problems, I think, with slant loads. My biggest safety issue is that if you have a problem with the front horse, if not in a two-horse or even a three-horse, you have to unload two other horses to get to it. And my theory of a safe trailer is that you should be able to take any one horse out of that trailer without removing the others. Now, my wife made sure that I told you this, and I agree with her on this. You know, we dressage people, you know, when they're riding a test and they come up to the halt, they don't turn their horse sideways and have them put their foot out in front, you know, when they halt. Or a reining horse doesn't come galloping, you know, down the stretch and then all of a sudden turn sideways and throw its front leg out to try and stop. So, you know, we're constantly working with horses. And what happens when you're driving, you're mostly stopping and starting and stopping and starting all the time. So, and a horse doesn't know when you're going to do that. So if they're able to plant both their feet in the front and both their feet in the back and lean on, we believe in the chest bar, you know, padded chest bar, and be able to put their feet forward, then they're best able to really plant themselves and balance better than if they were sideways, constantly throwing weight on their front foreleg and their rear hind. And, of course, if suddenly you had to throw on the brakes or somebody stopped in front of you, you know, the horse is going to definitely lose its balance sideways and get thrown against the divider, and hopefully the divider will hold, but they could slip underneath the other horse, and now you've got the problem of trying to get to it again if you've got two horses behind it. So I'm not real fond of slant loads, and I really don't offer them in our line of trailer. Does that help?
Oh, you guys don't have slant loads at all? I thought you guys did.
We have a sister company that is in conjunction with us that do, but the Equispirit line does not offer slant loads. It's all straight loads.
I did not know that.
And that's the reason, all those reasons that we just told you. We just don't feel it's a safe trailer. And about 12 years ago, we developed a thing called the safe load, which a lot of people are calling a 2+1 now, but it gives you two horses in the rear and then one in the front of that, which is, here we go, at a diagonal. But it does have a ramp exit so that you can get the horse out and you can get any one of the rear horses out. And we've got a nice, big, wide sort of a box stall, 51-inch stall, so that the horse can really have enough room to balance a little bit better.
All right. So to sum all of this up,
yeah.
What exactly do you think the top – like your top three most common trailer mistakes that people make?
Well, it's probably number one is buying the wrong tow vehicle. And then number two is probably buying the wrong size trailer for them now and in the future. Those would probably be the main two. And, you know, I'm not sure I could come up with a third one. Those are so critical. Maybe the third one would be to not realize the correct hitch system that they need on that trailer, the ratings and all the knowledge and information they need to make sure, especially on a bumper pull, that they've got the right size rated hitch that will handle that trailer weight. Because the hitch is rated separately from the tow vehicle. It has its own rating of how much weight it'll hold and how much it'll pull.
So where can people find that information on their hitch and their weight and all that?
Well, right on the hitch is a sticker on most all hitches. I think Toyota doesn't put one on their factory hitches, but the sticker will actually say what the rating is on that hitch. And there's two sets of ratings, and usually on the left side of that sticker it'll say weight carrying rating. Now that will be the rating of the hitch and the tongue weight when you just, you know, that slide-in piece with the ball on it that you slide in. When you use that piece, that would be the weight carrying rating. When you pull that piece out and put this much bigger piece in where these bars snap into, a lot of people mistakenly call them sway bars, but they're weight distribution bars, and these 30-inch steel bars snap into them, and then up they snap into brackets on the trailer. And that's called a weight distribution system. And what that does is it creates a higher rating on the hitch, for one thing. And so the hitch might be 10,000 pounds and 1,000 pounds with the weight distribution system. With the weight carrying, it might only be 5,500. And that weight distribution hitch is designed to really keep the tow vehicle from bouncing up and down frontwards and backwards.
Well, Tom, I hope this has been half as interesting for our listeners as it has been for me.
Thank you.
This has been awesome. Where can people get a hold of you? Where can they find out more information? Give your website so everybody can go find you.
All right. Well, they can find a whole bunch of information, good information, and articles that we've written on our website, which is equispirit.com. It's E-Q-U-I, like equine. EQUI Spirit, SPIRIT.com. It's all in my wife's book. It's 325 pages that is about horse trailers, and some people read it. It's got a great ending to it. But some people read it frontwards and forwards, and if they do, they probably know more than most horse trailer dealers will know about horse trailers if they do that. She's done an excellent job on that book. And I'm proud of her for it. So that's the other way they could do it.
Oh, what a proud husband. Okay, what's your email address?
tom@equispirit.com.
Excellent. We've got it up on our webpage right now on Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page, equispirit.com. You can go there. You can find Tom. This has been very interesting. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll get to have you back on again soon when maybe we do a little Q&A.
Anytime, I'd look forward to it and be glad to dispel any myths about horse trailers that we could do.
Well, I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much.
Right.
Equispirit.com, everybody, and tell your wife hello.
All right. Bye, Jamie. Bye, Glenn.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Tom.
Bye now.
I hope you guys thought that was a good job with that. Well, it was so interesting because, you know, it's scary. Trailering a horse makes me nervous. It always has. It's scary to put them in this little box. I can't even believe they go in there. And then they climb in this little box, and then you just rattle them around for an hour. And then when they get out, they're somewhere else. They don't understand what just happened. So it's always dangerous and scary to me to put them in there. And especially loading horses into slant loads, I am terrified because you have to walk them up there and then somebody closes that behind you and then you're stuck in there and they freak out and then you have to dive underneath the thing. It's scary to me. So my horses all load, thank God. I throw the rope over them and they go into my straight load two horse. But I've had bad horses too, you know, and it just makes me nervous. So it's interesting to hear some of the rumors dispelled. And we'd love to hear from you guys about what you think about trailering and trailer loading and what you think about the segment we just had. Just go to our Facebook page and let us know.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate that. Well, this we're going to be – I thought, wow, what song could I play today? And then when I saw Lindsay and you were like pajama sisters, I thought we had to play a little Lindsay Rakers Band in honor of your pajama wearingness. And so here's a little wishing well.
I put a quarter in a wishing well twice a week. $26 from the dream I keep. Thank you.
Glenn?
Yeah, this one seems to go on forever, doesn't it?
I'm like, you can jump in anytime. You got to play DJ, Glenn. You got to play DJ.
You got to talk over the end of the song.
Makers. Yeah, you got to talk over the end of it, always.
See, I didn't know the rule.
Yeah. When it starts to fade, you just go, hey, everybody, Glenn the Geek here, broadcasting, coming at you live from downtown Lexington, whatever.
That's pretty good. Now I don't have to do it. Well, thank you for listening to Horses in the Morning. It's been a great day. Bye. Does that work?
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Maybe want to stretch a little bit more, promote a little bit more, but sell something. I don't know.
Actually, we are going to have to wrap it up a little bit early here today. We're having all kinds of technical difficulties over here that we have to figure out before tomorrow morning. So we're going to work on that. Don't forget to send in your really bad ads. We need those today. Send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get on Craigslist. Take you 2 minutes to find bad ads. Send them over. Make sure they're funny. Make sure they're interesting. And send them over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. We're going to be back again tomorrow. We have a big announcement tomorrow. The Horse Radio Network is working with all of our media partners, and we're putting together we're not going to give it away yet, but we're putting together something that everybody can get involved with to help the people being now affected by the tornadoes and floods all around the United States. So we're working on that at this very moment, and we'll be able to announce more tomorrow. And I will say that we're going to need our listeners' help, especially our regular listeners who are with us here every day. We are going to need your help for this project, and basically it's the whole horse world coming together. So you're going to be the impetus to get it started, and we're looking forward to telling you about that tomorrow morning as well.
Yeah, and, we definitely are looking forward to that and doing a part. So the other thing that I wanted to mention, Glenn, is not one person has posted a photograph of themselves in their pajamas feeding. I'm a little disappointed. I cannot believe that I'm the only idiot standing there on the website in my pajamas when I'm going to feed. I'm a little mad.
And Jennifer pointed out yesterday that never in my life, apparently, have I gone out to the barn in my pajamas, so I can't even join that club.
Okay, the Horse Radio Network will give the next listener to post a photo of themselves online $1 million. Anybody?
Jamie will give the next listener $1 million when they post.
Wait, no, still nobody. See, it's not worth $1 million, I'm telling you. All right, thanks, everybody, for that. I appreciate being the only idiot standing in my pajamas on our Facebook page. So
I really, truly appreciate your dedication to this show. It is unmatched by any other co-host in the history of co-hosts.
I'm an idiot. That's all there is to it. And I would like to point out that Boomer and Zenyatta, Boomer is on his way to his castration. Yay! His
You're
daddy has
excited
driven
about
him.
This. I hope, I'm feeling bad for Chad right now, actually, because I'm a little too excited about this whole castration thing.
Oh, to be neutered yesterday. I mean, you know, it's going to be, like I said, it's brain surgery for a dog. So he is on his way. Hopefully Chad will not, you know, say, freedom, and keep driving down to Mexico. It's going to be an improved place. The world is going to be a better place after today.
All right, let's get out of here. We had to postpone the Chronicle report because of our issues. Sorry about that to the Chronicle. Of course, you can find them at chronophorse.com. And we'll be back again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Say goodbye, Jamie.
Goodbye, Glenn. Goodbye, everybody.